Please lie on your back. And note your contact with the floor. So, of course, contact with the floor is one part of the picture, a very immediate part of the picture, of how you are at the moment, particularly resting on your back. So the places in which you contact the floor, the comparison between the amount of pressure or sense of the size of the places where you come into contact with the floor, the sort of imprint that you make or experience, how those differ from side to side and top to bottom. Offer you some context for how you're resting on the floor, what your overall shape is like, maybe even what your breathing is like. And it's without the work or organization required to be upright. So it's of particular interest to come to rest on the floor and find what sort of muscular action is still in place or still changing as you shift from standing upright to resting on the floor. So perhaps you notice those things shifting or changing gradually as you spend a little more time resting on your back. As the muscular state changes, it's of course also a nervous system state change when you tone in the musculature shifts. You can note change just as you rest here for a bit. So let me open, as we have a little recently, with a reading from Awareness Through Movement. This is some of the early parts of the book where Feldenkrais is talking in general about his, or writing in general about his method. This section is called "The Difficulty of Changing an Earlier Pattern of Action." We tend to regard the self-image as something bestowed upon us by nature, although it is in fact the result of our own experience. Our appearance, voice, way of thinking, environment, our relationship to space and time, to choose at random, are all taken for granted as realities born with us, whereas every important element in the individual's relationship to other people and to society in general is the result of extensive training. The arts of walking, speaking, reading, and of recognizing three dimensions in a photograph are skills the individual accumulates over a period of many years. Each of them depends on chance and on the place and period of birth. The acquisition of a second language is not as easy as that of the first, and the pronunciation of the newly learned language will be marked by the influence of the first. The sentence structure of the first language will impose itself on the second. Every pattern of action that has become fully assimilated will interfere with the patterns of subsequent actions. Difficulties arise, for instance, when a person learns to sit according to the custom of some nation other than their own. As these early patterns of sitting are not the result of heredity alone, but derived from the chance and circumstances of birth, the difficulties involved lie less in the nature of the new habit than in changing of habits of body, feeling, and mind from their established patterns. This holds true for almost any change of habit, whatever its origin. What is meant here, of course, is not the simple substitution of one activity by another, but a change in the way an act is performed, a change in its whole dynamics, so that the new method will in every respect be as good as the old. So that speaks to the general process of awareness through movement, which is this idea that we might change the dynamics of doing, the dynamics of sensing, thinking, feeling, and action, rather than trying to address individual bits, fixing one thing or another, replacing one movement with another. So, come to lie on your front. And place one hand on top of the other so that you can rest your forehead on the backs of the hands. Your face is more or less directly to the floor. See first what this position is like. How's it different from resting on your back? Of course, your relationship to gravity, your orientation in the room are both different. Now, down in the room is forward relative to yourself. And forward to you is toward the floor. Bend the two knees and bring your feet in the direction of the ceiling. You can leave your knees a little bit apart comfortably. Know what that's like, what change that introduces, or in the middle of yourself. And with the knees bent, well, roughly at right angles, the feet toward the ceiling, lean the 2 feet one against the other so that the inside edges of the 2 feet are in contact. And begin to turn the 2 legs so that the feet move to the right. And just a little bit at first, and then come back to the middle. You start with a small movement. And note how the left foot slides along the inside of the right leg. And as you turn the 2 legs, how that changes the relationship between the foot and the opposite leg. So put the knees close enough together so that both legs move. And each time you come back to the middle, the inside edges of the foot touch, and then feet are to the ceiling. So you iterate over this movement, and as you make it gradually a little bit larger, note when the pelvis gets involved. So again, there's no need to go particularly far. The interest is in finding the way these individual actions relate to the action of the whole. And it's how the turning of the 2 legs gradually involves, or maybe quickly involves, the pelvis. What the return is like relative to the descent, you know, as the feet come off to the right. And again, as you make the movement a little bit bigger, you track the movement of the turning. As the pelvis begins to turn, the hips begin to turn, there's a little twist in the spine. How far up does that go? So you go a little to the side and come back. And at any point, do you feel a little draw on one of the two elbows as the movement becomes a little larger? So the knees are about hip width apart, not too wide, so that both legs turn. And sort out tracking the turning of the turning movement through the vertebrae up in the direction of the head and shoulders. Of course, you can pause whenever you want, and we'll pause in a few moments regardless. Track for yourself how the turning of the legs, the sliding of the foot along the other leg affect the pelvis, the trunk, and how the bottom half of you turns relative to the head and shoulders, more or less here. All right, leave it and come to rest on your back. All right, return again to the front and stack the two hands. Put the left one on the back of the right one. And put the, now turn the head to the left so that the right side of the head or face rests on the back of the left hand. And stand bend the two knees so that the feet come in the direction of the ceiling. You keep the knees relatively close together, so there's not a lot of distance there, just a little bit of distance. And then lean the feet together again. And now turning both legs, take the feet off to the right once more, with the head in this configuration. And you build it up a little bit more, and returning to the middle each time. Note the sensation of the inside of the arch of the left foot sliding down the inside of the right lower leg. And see, is the turn a little more available now with the head in this position? Again, you track the movement of the vertebrae of the back, starting down at the pelvis, near the pelvis, as you twist a little more, as the feet come a little closer to the floor on your right. Can you find a way, or do you find that each vertebrae kind of moves in turn and there's a sequence of twists up in the direction of the head? Or are there places that kind of go all together, several vertebrae at once? And how's your breathing involved with the, as you take the feet off to the right? Also note as you twist the lower half of yourself relative to the shoulders especially, at what point do you feel a drawing on one of the elbows or shoulders maybe? As the movement becomes a little bigger, And note the changing pressure of the rib cage on the floor as you roll the feet and pelvis a little to the right, maybe significantly to the right. But what can you do to soften the rib cage, to soften the chest so that it flattens a little bit on the floor? Maybe you adjust something a little bit there so that the shaping of the rib cage is maybe improves your ability to turn the lower part of yourself relative to the top. You notice is the movement of the legs and hips larger with the head in this direction now that you've spent a little time at it? And you note too, are you tending to inhale or exhale at a particular time? Maybe do you exhale as the feet go to the right? Do you inhale? At what time? Or at what point in the movement? All right, leave this and come to your back and rest. I'll note your contact with the floor here and most lightly make a small movement of turning the head from one side to the other, or to one side and then to the other, and see, is the movement of the head easier to the right or to the left, if you note a difference? And easier maybe means smoother, or that you can start it more easily. It may mean something about the size of the movement, but there are these other aspects as well. Quality of the movement, the how of it. Right, just leave that and pause. All right, come to the front again and place the two hands one on the other. And this time turn the head to the right. Bend the two knees and now start slowly. And again, take the knees and the feet together and then take them to the right and back. So you build it up slowly so you have a sense that the transitions in the movement could be smooth, and see what it's like here with the head turned this direction. Likely it's clear right away that this increases the degree of twist in the throughout the whole of the back, but particularly in the cervical spine, the neck, and then maybe in the low back. And take care that you just approach it gently. There's no need to go as far. You look for the quality of the movement, the relationships, the clarity of the twisting of the spine, how that movement carries from the pelvis, the legs to the pelvis, through the back in the direction of the shoulders and head. And notice there a point at which one of the elbows is drawn a little, or the shoulders. And how's the breathing here? What's the, when you keep the kind of the quality of the left foot sliding down the inside of the right lower leg and returning, in mind, that that's soft and continuous, that when you decide to turn and come back, that it's not a significant effort, but that you can do it without a large change. Does that affect the overall sense of the action? All right, just pause here on the front for a moment, however you like. You can lengthen the legs or adjust the position of your head. Turn the head to the right again if it's not already, and bend the two legs. Put the edges of the feet together. And now imagine if you could take your finger along your, or perhaps somebody friendly would help you out with this, but imagine the contact of a finger along the whole spine, starting somewhere down near the tailbone or the coccyx, along the back of the pelvis, up the lumbar to where it meets the rib cage, and up the back between the two sides of the ribs till finally coming to the base of the skull. And with that image in mind, take up this action of turning the feet to the right once again. See, perhaps you'd draw that line of contact starting at the tailbone, and using this perhaps to clarify that each vertebra could move in turn as the legs move off to the right. You, of course, return to the middle each time, and the knees are not too wide, they're relatively close so that both legs turn on the floor. And see if this is becoming a little more straightforward, this movement, more accessible. Now know what you're doing with your breathing. And try out, just as you begin to take the feet to the right from the middle, that you begin to exhale. And that you begin to empty the lungs as you turn the legs, the pelvis to the right. Does it make it more accessible to turn the feet, the pelvis, or less? And as you begin to take the legs back to the middle, begin the inhale. So you coordinate the inhalation and exhalation with the turning of the legs, the turning of the pelvis, the sliding of the foot along the inside of the other leg. And note if it makes a difference, if softening the chest can be included with a kind of with the exhalation as you take the knees to the right. And then be sure to try it the other way as well, just to check for yourself what it's like. What's it like to inhale as the legs go to the right? It's not a matter of suggesting one is correct or the relative to the other. Then you find out for yourself something about this. You see, is it a fuller twist with the twisting with the exhalation or not for you? To leave this and come to rest on your back. And note your contact with the floor here. What it suggests of the about the organization of the trunk, the back, the rib cage, the two hip joints, the legs, the shoulders, and there's some difference in your sense of length on one side or the other, softness of the musculature. Or maybe simply whether you note any difference from the beginning of the lesson. All right, come once again to the front. This time, turn the face to the left so that the right side of the head is toward the floor, and interlace the fingers of your two hands and bring them behind your head so that the face is directly on the floor and the interlaced fingers are on the back or left side of your head, and take care with that. The pressure here may gradually turn the neck a little more in this direction, so you just sort out how to do this softly for yourself. And now bend the two knees, and this time take the insides of the knees and feet and lower legs all together so that the inside edges of the legs are in full contact. And now, without changing that contact, begin to take the feet to the right again. And so here, if you do not want the legs to slide, the right knee will have to lift from the floor, and you'll roll over the right leg. And then you come back. So you just build it up gradually and see what this is like here. With this frame, of the shoulders and hands behind the head, what happens to the twist through the center of yourself? Can you track the movement of the vertebrae from the pelvis up in the direction of the head? When, as the knees begin to come a little more to the side, do you notice a drawing on one elbow or the other, or some movement of one shoulder blade different from the other side? But in particular, is there a point where the left elbow, if it's a little free and the twist becomes larger, does it begin to draw down in the direction of the feet a little bit? You can begin, too, to tie the exhalation to the beginning of the movement, the beginning of the turn to the side. And so you also soften the rib cage, soften the two shoulders, so that anything you're doing there doesn't interfere with the turning, twisting of the trunk. And see if the exhalation as you turn is helpful in increasing the range of the movement, or not so much. When do you inhale? What's the sensation of contact along that right thigh as you roll to your right? How does this constraint of holding the legs together affect the turning of the pelvis and the twisting of the trunk? course, you organize the movement so that when you turn to come back to the middle, you can do it softly, that it's not a significant new effort to change the direction of the movement. And you can examine for yourself, where do you initiate that reversal? Where do you do that work when you want to bring the pelvis back to the floor? How does that movement progress along the spine, through the trunk? All right, and when you're ready to leave it and come to your back and rest. Now try turning the head to the left and back to the center a few times, softly. And see what that's like. You don't have to try to go as far as you can, just see what it's like, what the quality of the movement is like, the availability of it, a couple of times. And then try it to the right. See, is it different in some way when you turn to the side where the head was already turned on while you were on your front, or when you turn it the other way? Is there a difference there? And pause in the middle and simply rest. And note how it is that you lay on your floor here somewhere in the middle of the lesson. The title of which is, by the way, is The Carriage of the Head Affects the State of the Musculature. Let's see if that means anything to you and whether it rings true at all at the moment. Whether there's any lingering remnant of the action in the neck or somewhere else. And at this point in the lesson, Feldenkrais has a section he calls Get Rid of the Old When You Have New. The discomfort or sometimes even pain experienced during normal behavior after a large number of successive movements in one particular position is interesting. We're unable to use ourselves in any but accustomed patterns of muscular action. When extensive change is introduced to most of the muscles, or at least to those essential to the movement carried out, as with 25 or so repetitions of a movement, we nevertheless instruct our muscles to fall into their usual pattern. Of course, that speaks to the relationship between the nervous system activity and the muscular activity. Only the experience of change and close attention will convince us to think and direct ourselves differently. Only when this experience of change causes us to discredit and inhibit the accustomed pattern, which now appears invalid to us, will we be able to accept the new pattern as habit or second nature. Theoretically, all that's needed is an effort of the mind, but in practice, this is insufficient. Our nervous system is so constructed that habits are preserved and seek to perpetuate themselves. It's easier to stop a habit by means of a sudden traumatic shock than to change it gradually. This is a functional difficulty, and that's why it's important to pay close attention to every improvement and to assimilate it after every series of movements. We thus get a double effect on our sensing capacity: the inhibition of the previous automatic pattern of movement, which now feels perhaps wrong, heavy, or less comfortable, and the encouragement of the new pattern, which will appear more acceptable, more flowing, and gradually more satisfactory. The insight thus obtained is not an intellectual one, proven, understood, convincing, but a matter of deeper sensing, the fruit of individual experience. It's important to know and understand the connection between the change and its causes, in order to encourage us to repeat the experience with sufficient accuracy under similar conditions to reinforce its effect and impress the improvement deeply on our senses. All right, so come once again to the front. This time, turn the head to the right and interlace your fingers the other way, perhaps the non-habitual way of interlacing, and bring the hands behind the head here with the face turned to the right. You sort out softening the shoulders, finding out if you're doing anything extra in the upper back or the neck, something that you do habitually perhaps that you can change here. And now bend the two knees and bring the insides of the legs fully together as before. And here, with the head turned contrary to the movement, begin to take the feet slowly to the right again and return them to the middle. You build it up slowly. What's it like here? Position of the head, of course, intensifies the twist. The head turned to the right and the legs going to the right. You roll over that right leg as the left one lifts from the floor and you return. Note what you're doing with your breathing, that you can soften the rib cage and allow it to shift and move on the floor. Track the turning of the spine from the tailbone through the lower and mid-back, through the cervical spine at the neck into the head, which is held relatively firmly to the floor by the frame of the hands, and then back as you bring the feet toward the ceiling again. So observe the entirety of yourself in this movement carefully. Is there some place that you could soften or change what you're doing to make the movement smoother, more accessible? Is there a place where you hold your breath where you could continue to breathe? That is, continue the cycle of breathing. Are you doing anything extra in the back of the shoulders or in the two arms or the perhaps the expression of the face or the neck that you just ask yourself, is it helping? Is it improving the quality of the movement or secondarily the range? And you ensure that the transitions between being turned to the side and returning are smooth, continuous. And the idea here is to improve this movement gradually without discomfort. So it's not that you tolerate more discomfort to somehow make a bigger movement, but you maintain your sense of comfort or ease as you gradually improve the action, making it smoother, more continuous, more clearly and fully distributed, softer perhaps, more reversible. All right, now leave it and come to rest on your back. And compare this to the beginning, what it's like to rest on your back here at this point. Through your own efforts, of course, in this lesson, or lessons in general, maybe you know change, particularly kind of global change that may result in a change in the distribution of muscular tone, perhaps a felt sense of length or flatness or some difference in the way that you rest on the floor. So we're not quite to the end of the lesson, but find your way to one side or the other and gradually to sit and to stand and take a short little walk around and see what this is, what you find in standing and walking. You pause in standing for just a moment. See what the head is like, how it rests at the top of the back, the spine, the trunk. And look a little right and left and see if there's difference side to side. One side of the world is a little more available to you, one side of your action. You turn more easily to one side or the other. Assuming you don't add effort, that is. And take a little walk around and note the sensation in the two sides of the face. The difference in the sensation each side of the jaw and the eye socket on each side. Musculature around the eye. perhaps not. Let's see what it's like to take a few steps and turn and look, turn and walk. And find yourself a spot again and come to rest on your back. All right, come to your front and stack the hands one on top of the other and rest your forehead on the two hands with the nose toward the floor, as we did at the beginning. So face is forward rather than to one side or the other, and with the legs a little bit apart, just a little bit, bend the two knees and then tilt the feet together as we did at the beginning, and try out this movement of rolling both legs to take the feet to the right as we did early on. Sliding the inside of the left arch down the inside of the right leg, leaving both knees on the floor now. Just see what this is like. How does this compare to this movement earlier? So the feet go to the right and back to the middle as we have been. See if you can note any difference here than when you were doing this movement earlier, the quality of it or the distribution of the turn through the spine, how the breathing and the movement of the rib cage relate or are related in this movement. this way of moving, perhaps more to the point. All right, and leave it and come to your back. Come to the front again in the same way, a simpler position of the two hands stacked with the forehead resting on the hands. And you can bend your knees or not as you prefer, but work through, recall, imagine, think your way through the lesson so far. How did you start? What was the first thing that you did with the feet together and the knees a little apart going off to the right, the head forward like this? And just recall, think through the lesson so far and transpose it to the other side. You just work your way through the lesson in your imagination. If it's helpful to bend the two legs and have the starting position, you imagine such that you can take up each starting position in turn, adjusting the position of your head and hands, etc., to the degree that you can remember it, and really imagine the movement in a way so clearly that you imagine the change in sensation, the preparation to do muscular work, to turn, almost so you just begin to feel the activity of the muscles contracting at any position, and then inhibit it so that you just almost undertake the action and then do not. But you imagine how the two legs would roll, how the foot would travel down the inside of the other, the different positions of the head such that the movement's easier or more full, the twist is more full. So it's a very interesting thing in awareness through movement. Initially, it may not be clear what this is all about, but to learn the skill of projecting the action and then withholding from it, it's a very significant one. Projecting the action includes the thinking of the shapes, the way that sensation will change when you do an action to the other side, how the legs would roll on the floor, what the progression of the movement is, how the breathing is involved, how you might distribute the action through the trunk by softening the rib cage. So you think what you will do, and then just maybe trying 3, 4, 5 times each of these movements to the other side so that the feet go to the left. Just build it up for yourself. Think it and then try one of the movements and then pause whenever you like and then think the next movement. Try it out a few times in actuality. you see, what's this like? How available is the movement, having done it only on the other side and now thinking it first? What's it like to take it up? How does the imagined movement compare to the actual movement? How do you bring the improvement found on the other side over to this side more immediately without having to do so many repetitions? You try the different positions of the head, you know, where if your feet are going to the left, that your head's first turned to the right, so it's a little easier. And the head's turned to the left, increasing the twist, and then the variations with the hands behind the head and turning the head one way or the other. Just build it up for yourself. Take a few minutes. Remember to think the movement a few times to the left before you undertake it a few times, in fact. When you do the thinking or imagining, the projecting of the action, how full can you make that? That it includes the sensation of movement that you expect, the relation between the whole and the parts, the breathing, perhaps the drawing of one elbow or another, or the movement of the rib cage on the floor, the sequence of the turning of the various vertebrae. Smoothness or quality of the action, how easily you can reverse it. You think these things before trying them, and then compare the trying to the projected action. And you use one to improve the other as you go along. So we're looking for a more global or full or complete improvement that includes thinking and sensing a new or an improved way of, or a refined way of sensing, of feeling, and of action. Of course, you rest whenever you like and you try the movements out that you're interested in. And when you get to the point where you've done as much as you want, come to your back. That doesn't have to be now. You can, if you've got a little more to do, please continue. gradually make your way to your back if you have not already. Compare the contact with the floor as you experience it now with what you recall from the beginning of the lesson. Where and how you contact the floor, how that reflects your shape, your configuration, your organization, which involves the distribution of muscular tone, which of course involves the nervous system, or simply what it's like to rest on your back on the floor. Know what the quality of breathing is like here. And just by way of making a simple comparison, come to your front and put the hands one atop the other and rest your forehead there and try tilting the knees to one side and then the other, just so you have a more immediate comparison. The simple way that we did at the beginning with the knees a little bit apart, the feet touching, try one side and then the other. A sense of the quality, the distribution of twist, the range. See, how does the left compare to the right? As Feldenkrais says here, differences between the two sides, on the side on which you did so much practicing and on the side where you did so relatively little thinking. And don't need to do a lot once you have the sense of it, how the two sides compare. Come to your back again and rest. Note that down in the room, or relative to the field of gravity, is behind you now. When you come to stand in a movement, the feet will be down and toward the floor, and the head will be up. And once you're upright, you can find out what the lesson has yielded for you once you come back to standing. So on your own time, choose a side and find your way to sit and stand. And see what it's like. Thank you, everyone.